This is a commune podcast.
Hey Siri, what do you know about me?
I don't have an answer for that. Is there something else I can help with?
Chal Jhooti. Hello and welcome to the second episode of Stupid No More. Now clearly Siri jhoot bol rahi thi. But do you guys know that these days humans have stopped listening to other humans? Primarily because we are also distracted with our own devices. Our devices, on the other hand, are really listening to us. And when I say really, I mean really listening to us. How much do they know? I have no idea. Where is this information going? I don't know. But what I do know is, I'm a stand-up comedian and I talk a lot of crap with my devices around. And I would want to know where that information is going and who is doing what with it. So to find that out, we have a super fun guest, Mr. Meghnath. He's the associate editor of News Laundry, cool guy, fun to chat with, sucks at Hindi, and is paranoid about who is listening. So guys, let's go and roll into the second episode of Stupid No More. Thank you so much, Meghnath. Thank you so much for joining in to the second episode of Stupid No More. This is a podcast that I've recently started. And the whole idea of doing this podcast was, I'm 47 years old right now. And I've spent a lot of time in corporate life, you know, and now a stand-up comedian for the last 4 years. And I've realized that I really don't know too much about too many things. Like, I have superficial knowledge about most of the stuff.
Don't we all?
Yeah, but you know, how much can you faff around here in parties and all?
That's true.
Because now people are getting more informed, no?
Yeah.
So what happens is, you give one line which you've read somewhere and the other person goes a little deeper and then you have nowhere to go. Then you're searching for wine or, you know, old monk or whatever.
So the objective of this podcast is, you want to become a better person at parties. That's great.
Yes,
I like that.
Yes, just that. Just that, like that. Just that. I just need to be the smart guy at parties. I think that's the big aim.
That's a great objective. I like that.
So that was the thing. And you know, one of the things that happened to me, I used to hear a lot of guys say that, you know, they were speaking about something in their bedroom or whatever, and they opened Facebook and suddenly an ad of the same thing popped up, right? Whatever they were speaking.
Yeah.
I honestly never believed them, okay? Because maybe I wasn't noticing too much, but it never happened to me till a few days back.
Right.
I was buying all this light equipment for, you know, stand-up comedy that we now do from our homes. So I was buying these light equipments and I was talking to my wife about it. And then I think I logged into Facebook, if I'm not mistaken, or Amazon, one of those two. And there were light ads there of these, you know, professional lights.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit, this actually happens. The devices around our house are listening to us.
Yeah.
Right?
This has happened to me a bunch of times actually now. And I mean, I do find it still very creepy. And you know, I've often wondered, so I get that, you know, people are like, oh, Amazon Alexa is always listening, or, you know, like Google is always collecting voice notes now, for instance. And, you know, like our devices are collecting so much information, right?
Yeah.
I'm also wondering, so like, for instance, me and my wife do talk, like, say, in a mix of Hindi, English, sometimes, you know, Marathi and Bengali as well. And yeah. I'm now wondering if ads show up based on predictive behavior more than anything else, rather than, you know, just directly listening to us. Because it might be so that, you know, the algorithm has decided this is the time when this guy will realize he needs a mop. You know, I mean, like, a lot.
The mop could have been there. But, you know, things like lights or professional lights popping up at this point of time.
Yeah.
Seems a little weird. Seems a little
weird. Did you talk
to
someone on WhatsApp about it?
Maybe, yes.
Or
yeah,
Facebook.
Yeah, of course I did.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so that is one more thing. When you talk on WhatsApp about these things, I mean, they show up. So it seems like they're collecting data there as well.
And is it like always on? Like, which device do I need to shut off?
I think all devices which have a microphone, frankly.
That's pretty much everything now.
Yeah, exactly. Everything that has a microphone. Even your TV has a microphone now. Even my Amazon remote has a microphone. It's really weird. I was also like talking to someone about that.
Yeah, yeah, you can do that whole thing now from the remote itself now.
Yeah, you press the top button and then it listens to your voice and then it's very accurate, thankfully.
Yeah.
But like, I was just wondering, like, you know, the battery drains on that thing a lot. Maybe it's because it's constantly listening and recording to what you're saying.
It is. It is. My theory, you know, I was speaking to somebody a long time back and they were like, no, you know, stuff like Alexa or, you know, your phone only listens when you give a particular command. I was like, to listen to that command, it is listening.
Exactly. That's what. So to say like, okay, Google or whatever, it's like, it has to be listening, right? I mean, like, otherwise,
correct,
how will
all
it
the
know?
Time.
Yeah.
And that's very dangerous. Yeah. Now, there are few devices that we know are listening. Okay. Mm-hmm. There's a phone, you know, whether you're an iPhone or an Android or whatever, you know, if you buy an Alexa, it will listen, right? That's the whole point of that device. But what about all the other data? Like all these apps that we are downloading, everyone comes with this, I'm giving access to XYZ. And frankly, none of us care about it, right? We just press the accept button if you want the app.
Yeah.
And how much of that is really playing now? Like how much of my data is going out?
So, you know, it's an extremely, extremely complicated subject, right? I mean, like, to be fair, like, to put it simply and answer your question, first, we have to classify your data into sensitive personal data. We have to classify it into critical personal data and just general personal data.
Sorry, when you say we have to classify, you mean whichever device or service is listening? Or
yes. So, the entity that wants to process your data essentially will have to figure it out. But then in the law itself, they have given particular categories of what this data is, right? For instance,
sensitive, critical, and general, you say,
right? So like essentially, so there is sensitive and critical. So there is non-personal sensitive data, which is anonymized, right? For instance, you're buying something on Amazon and like, you know, 10 other people are buying the same thing. So like the data which says like 10 people bought this t-shirt is anonymized, right? And, you know, they don't know who actually bought it. I mean, as in when you're sharing that data with someone, with a store, for instance, that this is in high demand. So they will
say... It is one of those which happens in the hotel booking apps, no? Four people are looking at these rooms. Two rooms are available. I'm like, nah, nobody's looking.
So essentially, you will never know who those four people are. So that's like anonymized.
I don't think they exist.
Yeah.
Putting like, pressure on poor people like us. Yeah.
Exactly. Then there is a personal identifiable sensitive data, right? Which means name, address, mobile phone, you know, even like our handles, like whatever. Yeah. That is personally identifiable stuff. Even your photograph. Yeah. Right. Now, this kind of data is, I mean, it can be misused if you want to like do identity theft, etc. But essentially, this is the kind of data that you need to give out to operate on the internet nowadays.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, there's no way out of it.
And that is the access that you pretty much give to every app.
Yeah, exactly. Now, there is critical data, which means financial information, health information, which you just do not want to give out, like, or you do not want anybody else to give out in to the world in general, right? Now, that
In my case, it won't really matter. Poor guy will hack into my bank account, probably put some money and walk off.
But just the fact that he has access to your bank account in perpetuity. Yeah. Like, if this podcast becomes popular and gets ads, then all that ad money will get siphoned off immediately. Then you will be like, second episode mein bola tha Meghnad ne.
Tenth episode mein jaake loot gaya main.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. See, warning you right now.
This is going good, huh?
Yeah, and then, now the bill is saying that critical data has to be only stored in India. Right? It cannot be stored anywhere else in the world. And they have given a bunch of categories. I'm not going to list all of them out, but it's in the bill. And then there is the sensitive data, which they know is sensitive in nature, like name, etc. But they are saying that, fine, it can go outside the country. But then a copy of that needs to be maintained inside India as well, like which is called localization.
Why is it important?
Yeah, so it is essentially comes from this bizarre concept. You must have heard this line now. Data is the new oil.
Yeah, yeah. It's like 40s is the new 30s or whatever. Some shit like that.
Yeah.
Never makes any sense. But everybody thinks, oh, kya deep mara hai. Data is the new oil.
What deep mara hai. Data is the new oil. What essentially it means is that it's a resource which is being extracted, right? I mean, like essentially that. Where every big company in retail, service industry, everywhere, manufacturing se leke sab kuch, now extracts any and every kind of data from us, tries to form patterns, and then profit, right?
No, but why is it like, even if it's stored in a Indian data center, what difference does it make? Let's say Facebook was storing it here, they would still be using it, right?
But that's the thing. So, like, I mean, when I say data is the new oil, there is, of course, this element of profiting from this resource. So now, I'll put it, like, in a very weird way. So imagine, like, there is, like, this giant battle going on between, like, two monsters. One is called the government and one is called the intermediaries. Right. Now, intermediaries are our social media companies, our other Amazon se leke, sab kuch, which are data fiduciaries. I'm just calling them intermediaries for now. So they are basically, the government is saying that all the data that the citizens are giving to these intermediaries belongs to us, the nation.
You know? Oh, it is the ownership thing. Yeah. It's not really, it's more secure. It's just that I own it.
Right. You can't just say it's a resource, extract it, take it away, profit from it, and then just not give us anything back. I mean, just like oil, right? I mean, like, that's why data is the new oil.
So that is what
oil.
It means.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think if somebody offers me whiskey at a party, I can just, like, offhand, just call, he'll be like, which whiskey do you want? And I'll be like, whichever, but you know.
Data is the new oil.
It's the new oil. Do you think it'll work?
I think it will be weird. They'll just give you oil to drink. It's like, le sale, pee oil chahiye na.
Okay,
don't
so
do
we're
that.
Setting
don't,
up.
Don't do that.
Yeah, probably not.
Probably not. Then, you know, I'll ask you one question. Is data the new oil? Or according to the intermediaries, data is the new water, where it flows everywhere without control and everybody needs it. So what do you think?
See, this is the point I normally get zoned out in a party. Had I made this statement and if you were at the party and you would have made this statement, I would be like, yeah, you win. Yeah. I would just raise my hand and walk out. I'll be like, you win. I don't know. I'm probably going to start a podcast. We'll learn there.
Yeah. So then you're not going to answer my question is your...
Totally not.
Great way to get away. Great way to get away.
Yeah, I was just wrapping my head around data is the new oil. You brought water also in. I was like, this is too confusing. Yeah. At 47, nah, I can't do that.
But to put it simply, intermediaries and our companies are saying that data is water. The internet cannot function like this. So if you, for instance, if the government is asking that all information that I've given to Facebook, which is sensitive in nature, needs to have a server in India, which will have a copy of that data. And it will always be updated with the latest version of that data and that personal data. And therefore, Facebook, if it wants to use it, it will have to maintain these two copies, right? The reason why that is being done, simply put, is for the government to control information flow. So right now what happens, say, if you say, make an anti-national statement on Twitter, right?
Or as we call it these days, just make a statement.
Just make a statement, exactly. Now there is like, the government gets upset and they're like, you know, take this down. We're ruining our harmony in this country. And hashtag Sanskar also. So what used to happen is that now you have to wait for Facebook or Twitter to essentially, haan bhaiya, theek hai, kar denge, fir 10 din lagayenge, 15 din lagayenge. They'll be like, maybe, maybe not. Are we setting a precedent? We will call a meeting now. And like, they will not do it. Or they may be, they'll do it really fast, right?
Yeah.
Either way, it's problematic. So now what the government is saying, if you store the data in India, essentially, they have jurisdiction over it. So then they can legally then act upon it and get it done.
Ah, that makes sense. So one is jurisdiction also, which comes into play.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is not about security. This is about control, like you said. This is about jurisdiction. Hmm. This is about owning it because it's a valuable property now.
No. Okay. So I was talking from my, let's say, mere chashme se baat kar raha tha. Like, I mean, I'm wearing a chashma of a user. An internet user and obviously like someone who reads upon privacy laws, etc. and is aware and is very paranoid about their privacy in general, right? But if you look at it from, say, a security angle, from the government's chashma, if you put on the saffron tinted glasses.
Marwayega, ye podcast hi khatam ho jayega iske baad. I'll never reach to episode 10.
Maine kuch nahi bola, color hai, okay?
Thank God we are paying a sound editor.
So, if you are the government, from their angle, say for instance, if there is like anti-national content, like generally, let's not go down that path. Let's say like there is genuinely content which is a threat to our nation, right? And that needs to be taken down.
Yeah.
Say, for instance, Pakistan is trying to rile up a riot, like targeted riot. right?
And that's genuinely happening, right?
It's happening, absolutely.
Like, it's happening in elections, it's happening otherwise.
Yeah, you know, like the Russia interfering in American elections is one big example of that.
Correct.
Even the Cambridge Analytica thing that happened in India.
Exactly, yes.
So things like that happen where not only threat to security, but also to our electoral process, the democratic process. So from the government's perspective, this is correct. It's legit that, you know, if threat comes upon us, which is like an enemy nation or someone who does not intend well for India, just comes in and starts disrupting, you know, our society based on access to the internet or just using the internet or social media or whatever, the government needs to act upon it.
And act swiftly.
Yes. And the only way it can act upon it is if it has jurisdiction over that data. So that's the entire logic of it.
But what stops the government? Is there any law or anything which stops the government from using that data to influence either policies or elections for that matter?
So again, that is where the tricky part comes in, right? It all depends on how much you trust your authority, right? In Singapore, for instance, you can see that there is this system called RAHS. They like make you give up all your data the moment you enter their borders, right? They're like, correct, we are going to look at, listen to and see everything that you do.
Correct.
And in Singapore, the thing is the citizens have this immense trust on the government that, theek hai, we are giving you this data, but we trust you enough not to misuse it. In a country like India, and I'm not talking about the current regime, I'm just talking in perpetuity, in backwards and forwards, governments are known to be power hungry. They want to curb on citizen rights because they want to accumulate power. So in that case, for instance, a scam breaks and a journalist reports on it, the government can come in and say that, oh, this is harming harmony, and then they'll shut it down or they'll remove all the posts on Facebook. So
they can play their own agenda if they want to.
And that is where the third party comes in. You know, the third party here is the intermediaries, the websites, the companies, etc.
One of the things with government, I think, is also a big concern. There is no faith in their ability to protect the data. Like, honestly, whenever I've downloaded a government app, right, even just to check it out, the whole tech experience is so bad. It looks like some, you know, interns have created those apps. And then I'm wondering if that's their ability to create an app which they're promoting 24/7 on every platform. Then what data breach can they, you know, avoid? Do they really have the resources to do that?
So government has been terrible with data in the past and in present also. Like, just one example would be Aadhaar. Right, you know, if you search for someone's Aadhaar number, there is a possibility that a PDF has been uploaded somewhere on some random government website, and it will pop up and it will give details of your bank accounts also.
Do you have good money in your bank?
No, not really. No. What do you define as good? I'm not Ambani level rich. If that's good, I think.
Now I've understood. If you are comparing to Ambani, then you have good money. So one of the things, you know, which is extremely important, required for, you know, this podcast to release, is your Aadhaar number. If you can just give it right now.
I don't have an Aadhaar. Lol.
Oh shit.
Okay, it's not like, it's not like because the lack of trying, okay? I genuinely tried to get an Aadhaar right before this lockdown because income tax file karna tha. And because, you know, government ko paisa diya, mujhe refund mil raha hai, fir bhi unko bolna chahiye, bolna hai ki.
Dekho, refund aaya to Aadhaar aa gaya abhi, suddenly.
Exactly. So, like, so I genuinely went there like 5 times. And they changed the rules so often, it was such a pain. And then lockdown happened, so I was like, screw it. I saved once again. Like, I was like,
just a few years late into the process, but what the hell?
I'm not going to go there and get infected, guys. Please, I'll write that in my income tax returns now.
You were talking about, you know, this whole intermediary coming in.
Yeah.
And their role in this entire thing.
If so there are like few parties involved, right? There's the government, there's the intermediaries, and there's you. From the intermediaries' point of view, what they're saying is that A, they don't want to be the arbiter of what is right and wrong. Even Facebook, like for instance, if you heard Mark Zuckerberg's thing, like there was this giant article about political ads, right? On Facebook. For instance, there is a genuinely fake news being spread and advertised on Facebook. Will Facebook take the call of taking it down? Now, Mark Zuckerberg clearly said, no, I'm not going to be the person to decide that. The users are going to be. And I think that is also a very smart way to sort of look at it from the intermediary point of view, because I am also still unsure if they should be the arbiters.
Yeah, who takes a call on that?
So the one
who takes a call, it's fake news or it's genuine news.
Yes.
Even if it's bad news, right? So
yes.
I don't think a Facebook can decide what is good or bad news or fake news in India, right? It could be real news for all you know, but really bad in nature.
Right. And if you think about the amount of information being shared on their platform, it's also impossible practically for a human level interjection there, right? So they've started developing algorithms to identify this. Now, I don't know how advanced these algorithms are or how exactly they will go about this. But from the little that I know about algorithms, I genuinely feel it's an impossible task. Because for a country like India, which has like a million languages, how will you apply the algorithm here? Right?
Correct.
We keep changing our slang.
Who's checking this, Meghnad? Are these humans who are checking this? Or is it like an...
So like right now there are like giant moderation teams which sit out of many places around the world. Thousands of people essentially just day in and day out going through problematic content and taking it down.
Okay.
Based on flagging.
Just aside to all the listeners right now, this podcast not only gives you great information, it also gives you great career opportunities. So, in case you are into shitty content, then there are actual jobs where you can kind of go through shitty content throughout the day.
And in the next 15 seconds, I'm going to ruin your dreams. In moderation...
Spoke too soon.
In these moderation factories, there have been multiple reports of extremely dangerous mental ailments cropping up in the moderators. Like, if you're looking at, like, digital pictures of, you know, like, child pornography se leke violence every day, day in and day out, that's extreme. Then also, like, applying your brain on whether something is problematic or insightful or not, day in and day out, that is your job. That is literally your job for, what, 6 hours a day?
That's actually most corporate jobs, by the way.
Yeah, but like there was this insane, I mean,
you know, there are a lot of people in corporate. I spent about 18 years in corporate life. I can tell you there are a lot of people who can still go for this job because they'd rather look at this shitty content than look at an Excel sheet and a presentation throughout the day, which makes no sense at all.
But to tell you how extreme this gets, there was this article in, I think, The Wired about the conditions in one of these. So apparently one person lost it and took a dump on the desk and left. Then someone else just died on the desk of a heart attack. And people didn't find out till 6 hours later.
I completely take back my words on career opportunities.
Yeah.
This is not the podcast to listen for career opportunities.
Yeah, exactly. So, but like, so human intervention, right? For essentially moderation. Now, that is the tricky part. And that is why this entire issue is so complicated, because like we started off by you asking me questions about chalo mere kaun se devices are listening to me. Now these are the kind of questions we are actually worried about.
Correct. But at an individual level, that's what I'm worried about.
On a larger scheme of things though, when you multiply yourself by a billion, by 7 billion,
correct,
right, the problems just compound to like insane level.
Correct. And then, also the impact of those problems. Yes.
Then add to that the masala of culture, of sensibilities, of what people think is offensive, not offensive, acceptable, not acceptable, freedom of speech, also nationalities, like, you know, borders. Yeah. It blows your mind, essentially.
And if I heard you correctly, there is still a debate on who fixes this or who controls this to solve the problem. There is no clarity right now on that.
Yeah, so the clarity is what this personal data protection aims to bring about by not just doing this data, like what is personal, what is sensitive, etc. But it is also saying that like the government will, that they're creating a data protection authority, which will prevent data misuse, as they call it. Now, that will be the one that will decide whether this has to be taken down.
Okay.
So, essentially, the government will be given control. Like, this authority is being given the control, not really the government, just one layer removed. And that is what is going to happen. Now, but then there's the flip side of it, which is the positive side of it, that this bill also brings about the concept of consent. So, for instance, like, you are giving out data to, without knowing, to like Google, Amazon, etc. Now, this bill, what it says is that it is going to protect you in a way that you will have a right to recall. So if you appeal and say that, no, I don't want this data out there with such and such company. The company will have to take it down.
And that, I'm assuming, would be a very complicated process. It's not a click of a button saying, I want my data back.
Yes, that is the weird part of it, right?
It'll almost be like, yeah, you first do jogging for like 2 months and join a gym, make sure you're going there every day for 6 months, and then, you know, solve some mathematical problems, and then you have a right to click on that button.
Right.
Something like that, right? It'll be almost impossible for us to do that.
That's exactly it, right? I mean, just to give you one example, you don't know how your data is getting stored in each company. Google might be, say, storing it everywhere, like in multiple servers. And there might be a smaller company which might have like a very solid one server where everything is getting stored. So like to get that amount of data maybe accumulated, trace it, and then remove it, the company will have to spend a lot of resources and money doing that on a constant basis.
But have they already committed to this, saying that we will do this?
No. So they will have to do this. There's no chance of commitment because it's the law. That's the point. Okay. You know, like, I mean,
and a law across the world.
No. Right now, like in India, we are talking about India. Okay. That like this will happen in India, right? Across the world, in GDPR, you know, like in Europe, etc., there are certain safeguards which are similar to this, and companies are fighting there also. I mean, it's not a unique India problem. And the other thing is that, consent-wise, you will actually be asked on each step where your data is to be taken and also where it is to be used. So that information will be available with you. Again,
which
how
is not
will
happening
they implement?
Right now.
No. But again, how will they implement this is a question.
Oh, damn. Does it mean like 50 pop-ups on every step?
That already happens because if you go to any European website, the GDPR already does this. It shows you this website collects information for such and such purposes. And then it gives you a list of other websites which this information is being shared with. If you go to like UK newspapers or German newspapers or whatever, you get these.
Most of them have subscriptions, so I normally don't go there.
Yeah.
They show half the article and then ask for money. I'm like, yeah, I'm not so interested in news.
But yeah, that's the essential thing.
Now, bring it back to an individual level.
You're right.
Here is my modus operandi kind of when I'm downloading stuff or when I'm giving my information out. It's in three simple words. I don't care.
Okay.
Right? Primarily because I don't understand what all can be done with it. I know it is risky. Financial part of it is what I'm really scared about. But if somebody has information about my email, telephone number, or are putting ads on what stuff I want, it's not a life-threatening situation. It's not, you know, the benefits are far bigger than the privacy part of it. And
yeah.
I normally let go. So I'm not reading terms and conditions. Now, I don't even know whether when they say that, you know, other information, like name and profile and contacts and some other information, what all am I giving them? So there is no idea. Like my information could be out there with my consent.
Right.
How do I, or a normal user, okay, not a techie, not a guy who understands legalities too much, but how does a normal user still protect themselves around this?
Right. Do you mind if I go a little philosophical on this before we...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No, but like, I mean, think about it. Like, so there are two ways to look at this, right? So one, you said that, you know, you don't care about giving up the data and because you're getting so many free services in return. So for instance, Gmail doesn't charge you. So like Gmail is reading your essentially all of your emails and throwing ads at you at all times. And that is doing that because it's reading everything, right? So you're saying that's fine because, you know, I can ignore an ad. I can just be like, yeah, I don't even look at it. That happens. But as a result, I'm getting this very efficient Gmail, which is a great emailing, whatever.
Yeah, my life is becoming simpler. I need these apps. I can't live without Gmail.
But then the other aspect of this is, for instance, let's take the example of Facebook. You are liking random things. You are liking random posts. You are looking at certain things and, you know, reacting to it, commenting on things, etc. Now, what happens is that the algorithm is sort of sorting all of that to make sure that it shows you content which will keep you on their platform, which means it is going to feed your biases. So if you keep seeing things you like, which can be political leaning wise, which can be just aesthetically pleasing or whatever else you want to call it, the algorithm knows better than you because it has not just looked at your likes, it has looked at the likes of 1,000 other people like you. So now what is happening is it's inherently changing the way you look at the world, which is very freaky when you think about it. It is actually deciding that you keep voting for a certain party, maybe, because it's just throwing you content which is favorable to that party.
Does this really mean that when you're looking at the online world, look at it with a different lens yourself? You know that these algorithms are there, know that you have been fed information that you want to see. Because if you're right, right? If I'm being fed what I like, whatever algorithms work, and they decide that, hey, I can change this guy's opinion. He's sitting on the fence. I can change the opinion. Then I'm getting influenced, right? How much? And it's a reality. I don't think it's a world that we can just give up. I can't say that.
No,
hey,
you
I'm
can't.
Not gonna go
you can't. And
now,
but like that's the thing. So like there's the fact that sort of you have this awareness that, you know, maybe the algorithm is just deciding what to see. When you sort of apply this filter and make it a habit to apply this filter internally, you immediately start questioning the content that you're being shown. It's essentially a question of personal biases, right? Everybody's biased. The algorithm just feeds that bias.
Which is what, in a sense, that whole forward thing on WhatsApp did, right? Because the moment, now when you get a forward, because of all the information that has been thrown out saying, hey, be careful about this kind of information. Now you're a little cautious. Now you, people who are aware of it, don't tend to believe forwards as much as they used to, just because that little thing came with that icon saying it's a forward.
But then, you know, there are people like Amitabh Bachchan who post those forwards on Twitter to his millions
of... He's done great work for decades. Yeah. Give him a little...
ये क्या है यार? मतलब उसका कोई Twitter ले लो ना, please उसको deactivate कर दो यार. हो गया. और create an anonymous account. You can't use your own brand.
My only thing is at least just stop numbering your tweets.
Yeah.
Just let's start from there. Not during the course of our chat, which has been really, really interesting, Meenath, that you mentioned a word for yourself saying you're paranoid about it.
Right.
Now, I'm assuming that in whatever little impact this podcast, this episode would have on people, at least a lot of people would start thinking about it more deeply. What do you do for yourself? Paranoid is a very strong word. Like, are you really, really scared of the certain things that you just take care of? Like, top 3-4 things that you do?
Right. So, for instance, I'm really paranoid about right now in my head. When it comes to like privacy wise, I'm really paranoid about Aadhaar.
And what about Arogya Setu app?
Yes, exactly. The second thing I'm now paranoid about, which is I think more than Aadhaar, is Arogya Setu. You know, like it's scary when I think about it. And again, like I would like to reiterate that, you know, it's not just I'm paranoid about this government or this regime, which is, I mean, to put it mildly, authoritarian in nature. But I know for a fact that 20 years down the line, there might be something worse. And you never know, right? I mean, worse than this, because everybody was saying before, oh, it can't get worse than this, but it did happen. You know, like 2020 happened. There are cyclones and there are COVID and, you know, rights are being taken away. Now I can't move freely anymore. So yeah, worse things can happen.
Yeah, in fact, whether you believe the government or not, either which way, right? Or their ability to keep that data secure. Apps like Arogya Setu in today's time, where it is necessary for you to even enter an office complex or to cross a border or to probably take a flight. Those are things you will have to do. I mean, you can't even avoid it. It's not like you can say that, hey, I'm the one who doesn't.
So, philosophy time. Basically, you tell me this.
I'll tell my editor. It's been, I guess, a music change.
That'd be nice. I'll ask you a question. What is more important? Security of the nation or personal privacy?
Very interesting question. In the current context, my personal security as a human being depends on security of others.
Right.
And I'm specifically talking about, let's say, an Arogya Setu app. I would want everyone to download it because somehow I believe that it at least protects me to whatever extent it does.
So the follow-up question to that would be, what is more important, public health or personal privacy?
Right now, public health.
Exactly.
Sure.
So that's my thing, right? So for instance, priorities are changing, right? So for instance, right now, so Arogya Setu right off the bat is a terrible app. It has many bugs. So, but an ideal Arogya Setu type app, what it would do is A, it will record positive cases on the smartphone. It will also sort of keep signaling everyone around with that app that this guy is in proximity to you or whatever it is.
Correct. That would be the ideal situation.
And using Bluetooth, using GPS, using multiple other things, triangulation, all of that. Right. For instance, right now, advisories are going out saying you have to show the app on your smartphone to get in. Now, that doesn't make sense because I can just download it and show it to them and then I'll get in. What the hell? That doesn't make any sense.
Which actually happened to me, by the way. I entered an office building 2 days back. I had downloaded the Arogya Setu app about 10 days back. But for some reason, when I entered, they asked for the app. I tried showing them and it just kind of reset. And then I had to put in all my details again and stuff like that. And it just showed safe. You're safe right now. Because, I mean, kitna hi check kar lega 30 seconds mein ye app hai.
That's just ridiculous. Yeah, so like, I mean, public health as a thing is at a priority for all of us. But then I have to give up some amount of privacy to sort of ensure that I'm safe. But the way I do that is only if I trust the people who have this app and I trust them with my data. Right now, I don't. I mean, I am just very worried that across the world, not just in India, this pandemic will be used to sort of invade privacy like never before.
Correct. And COVID is a real threat to that again.
Yes. It's a bigger threat which everybody is experiencing collectively. So it's so easy to convince people now that, oh, public health is better than privacy.
So you're not downloading the app now?
I'm not. Until...
So basically, you'll not be at the parties where I'll be.
I don't think so.
So you won't hear me talking the intelligence
Are you asking people to download the Arogya Setu app for your parties also?
No, no, I'm assuming if you have to step out, people would in any case need to download it because you'll be stopped at so many locations. So you'll have to download unless you decide to stay at home forever. I am assuming you're going that way.
I have a workaround for that and I'm going to reveal it in this podcast because, hey, which police official is going to listen to this? So I'm going to keep screenshots.
Remember when we said nothing worse can happen?
I might keep screenshots, man, in my gallery in a folder called Arogya Setu.
If the government is listening to this...
Government, if you're listening to this, I'm not doing that, okay? I'm just sharing possibilities of anti-national elements they can do.
Who could do this, right? So that it can be avoided.
No, I'll download it.
That's the reason why you mentioned it. But what about other stuff? Last question, okay? What about like Arogya Setu app, Aadhaar, much bigger play, much bigger implications. And yes, the concerns are much bigger, right? But then there is daily stuff that you do. Are you on Facebook or are you paranoid about those kind of things? Like being on Facebook, Twitter, using Alexa or Siri and stuff like that. Do you get paranoid about that too?
I do sometimes. But then again, like there is this thing in the back of my head right now that the only thing they can do to me is sort of show me ads and make, you know, capitalism, like addicted to capitalism. Yeah. But the other thing they can do is influence my biases, you know, like, so in that sense, when I look at all these apps and whatever social media, etc., I genuinely have stopped taking social media very seriously.
When you're downloading apps and stuff, something new comes up, are you worried about the access you're giving?
So I do not give access to my microphones. I mean, like, so because MIUI has that feature that you can selectively disable access to many apps. I remove access for camera and microphone, etc. until it's absolutely required.
Well, actually, I've never checked it yet. Maybe iPhone would have, right? That feature?
Yeah. So like so for instance, the default mode that you download the app in, the first time you download it, say for instance, Instagram, you want to go live. So if you press on the live feature, it will ask you this prompt that, do you want to give access to your microphone? Do you want to give access to your video? So you say yes, but then you go back to the settings and you can remove it again.
So that's one thing people can do here. Actually, just go back to their phone settings and remove access of microphone and camera.
It's a lot of work. Yeah. To be honest, but I mean, I do it like once in a week regularly. But I mean, I very selectively give access to my microphones, etc. anyway. And when it comes to browsing, I use Tor mostly.
Well, that's the thing I read today. I didn't even know something like that existed. The Tor browser.
Social media pe, I use Chrome, etc. But like, I mean, incognito mein ya fir kaise toh bhi karke. But like, there is a balance that I have to maintain now between my paranoia and...
You're conscious of that, right?
That's one way to put it, right? I mean, I know that a paranoid person will just not use anything. Patthar pe kagaj likke pheko. Like, I mean, like stuff like that. But, I mean, that's like...
I've just figured out in this chat, because I'm speaking to you for the first time, your Hindi sucks, man.
It does.
Patthar pe kagaj likke pheko.
पत्थर पे कागज रैप करके फेंको, दैट हो गया. अगेन हिंदी, आई डोंट नो व्हाट रैप इज, बट ओके,
या
सो, बट यू गेट माय पॉइंट, राइट? आई मीन, आई कैन जस्ट बी कॉन्शियस एंड या.
सो यू आर रियली नॉट पैरानॉइड, यू आर जस्ट अवेयर एंड यू आर कॉशियस अबाउट इट.
आई एम पैरानॉइड अबाउट द गवर्नमेंट टेकिंग माय डेटा. आई एम नॉट दैट पैरानॉइड अबाउट corporates taking my data that much right now. No, one test of this would be, which I think people should do regularly, right? Hmm. Is that, say, for instance, you are giving a piece of data consciously to, say, a social media platform.
Hmm.
Ask yourself, what can they do with this data that I'm giving right now, right? They'll send you emails, they'll send you ads, they'll look at your behavior, they'll send you more ads, they'll want you to buy stuff, you know? The other thing that they can do, again, is, of course, affect your personal biases.
Yeah.
But then when you give data to government, what can they do with it?
Yeah.
You know, like the scope just incredibly expands, right? So, of course, the government can use it for the same thing.
Mm.
But then the other way to use it is to sort of shut down dissenters.
Mm.
Use it to demonize one particular community that an authority doesn't like.
Correct.
Things like that can happen.
Mm.
So, when you are giving your data, when you are giving your information, personal information, just ask yourself this question: what can this entity do with it?
And then take a call whether you want to share that information or not, how important it is.
Yes. Can I leave you with this one analogy, that this wonderful analogy that someone gave me?
No, please, please.
It's like, you know, how restaurants want to serve chicken to customers.
Mm.
So imagine that you are the chicken, the user, the person who is using the internet is the chicken.
Yeah.
The restaurant is basically the intermediaries or the companies, even news channels.
Mm.
And the customer is essentially the government.
Mm.
You know, so like what happens is that when you are using a certain thing for a long duration of time, you become the chicken, like, so they're feeding you with it. And you're like, ha, lelo, lelo. And then at the end of the day, they'll cut you and serve you to the government. Right? So when you get something for free, you are the product. So just be aware.
I love that line. When you're getting something for free, you are the product.
Yeah.
I think
you are the chicken, man. We are the chicken. We are eating. Full credits to Faye D'Souza for giving this analogy, by the way.
Oh, she's like, the one who came up with this. We shall give credit to Faye.
Yeah.
For this one. But thanks so much. Yeah, thanks so much, Meghnath. This was way more fun than I had imagined. I thought we would, you know, because this was a world that I didn't understand.
Yeah.
And I thought at some point this will be too technical for me to even understand after the podcast. But thank you for making it so clear. Your thoughts were so crystal clear. I think the way you put it made a lot of sense. And thanks so much for doing this. Yeah, thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for calling me. And I hope your listeners benefit from this somehow.
And I guess now both of us can switch on our ACs.
Yeah.
The sacrifices we have to make to create content.
Absolutely.
And that's a wrap on the second episode of Stupid No More. Now, I hope you enjoyed the episode as much as I enjoyed chatting out with Meghnath. Lot of interesting information out there. But you know what it boils down to? Internet will be around. Apps will be around. Devices will be around. It is up to us to decide who we give what access to. Also, be conscious of the fact that there are algorithms out there feeding into our biases, giving us information that either we want to hear or information they want us to hear. So next time you see some article or some news item or a post, use your senses, use some filters. Do not react immediately. Also, very, very important, do not get off social media. Be on every single platform, because that is where you would have to say good things about this podcast series. You can find me on Twitter at Anshu Moore and on Instagram at Anshu_Moore. So if you like the episode, please do tell your friends and write about it on social media. I'll see you guys next time on another fun episode of Stupid No More. Hey, this is Anshu Moore, and I'm the host of Stupid No More. If you ever wanted to start your own podcast, you might think you need all kinds of equipment to set it up. Well, it turns out all you need is Anchor. Anchor is an all-in-one free tool from Spotify that lets you create your own podcast and get it heard everywhere. With Anchor, you can record, edit, and be heard on all listening platforms. It also works in your web browser
or right from Anchor's mobile app. And best of all, it's totally free. So make your podcast with Anchor today by going to anchor.fm. That's anchor.fm. This is a Commune production. This episode was produced by Abbas Momin and supervised by Pranika Borkar. Vijay is our editor and sound designer.
This is a Commune podcast.